With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. My name is Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's show, we'll be looking back at a busy week in the EvoStick Northern Premier League, as we'll be live from Altrincham's Moss Lane to look back at all of Saturday's results. In addition, we'll be talking to the league leaders going into the bank holiday weekend, as we'll be catching up with Stafford Rangers boss Neil Kitchen. We'll talk epic 4-4 draws with the Rushall manager Wayne Thomas, and we've also got an interview with Stourbridge's manager Gary Hackett. We'll also be talking ground improvements with the Hensford Town Supporters Association, international football with the Leek Town chairman John Eales, and we'll be discussing FA Cup runs with Chase Town. Later on in the show as well, we're also going to be talking to the wonderfully knowledgeable Thomas Fina to talk about all this weekend's matches in the EvoStick Northern Premier League Premier Division. But let's get things started now, and let's look back at all of Saturday's results in the NPL Premier Division as we head over now to Moss Lane on Tuesday evening for Altrincham against Whitby Town. Hello everyone, and welcome to Moss Lane, the home of Altrincham Football Club, and we're here on Tuesday evening for the box office fixture between Altrincham and Whitby Town. And
it's not even pay-per-view, which is even better.
And joining me now it is Mr. Box Office from Whitby Town Radio, it's Andrew Snaith. Hello Andy, how are you?
You're flattering me, Ben. Yeah, I'm alright mate, nice to be with you.
We've also got Mr. Box Office James Hayes from the NPL. Hello James.
Evening.
And we've also got Swamper. Hi Swamper.
Yeah, good evening, Ben.
Yeah, it's good,
man. Yeah, it was very good, yeah.
Anyway, that's up that. So, it's half-time here. It's 1-0 to Altrincham. I said to you, Andy, oh, yeah, I think you're the better team. And then it's all gone to pot in the second half of that first half.
Yeah, I mean, our defence obviously overheard. You got a little bit overexcited and decided they weren't going to do some of the basics of the game, marking, running and so forth. Yeah, it's been quite poor at the back, and Whitby are just giving one of the best sides in the league, despite the start to the season, a few easy shots on goal. And to be honest, as we talk, Whitby 1-0 down at half-time. Might have to edit this and put in a few different outcomes. it's not looking good.
Do I say it's looking good, and I can edit it?
Well, you just take the word "not" out.
Good point. Oh God, you're right. How have you found this season thus far? Because obviously you had a couple of outgoings during the summer, but you're still a very pretty team to watch. I've been very impressed with the football in that first half from Whitby.
I think you probably summed it up quite nicely, actually. There is some pretty football. Spread the ball around quite nicely in midfield. I think that's where the strength is. It's a cutting edge up front that we're lacking. 32 goals in Dale Hobson, transferred to Blyth Spartans in the summer. And at the back, lacking a bit of pace and looking very frail tonight, it has to be said. And I think it's a worry at both ends of the field for Whitby. It's not quite what we expected. We didn't expect to be in the top five, but we hope to be in and around.
There and
thereabouts. As things stand, we're looking a bit short of that.
You did beat Stalybridge 4-1 last week, and it's not like, you know, it's...
It's not all doom and gloom, but I don't think it's the easiest start of the season either.
No,
away to Barwell,
yeah.
And away to and against Stourbridge on Saturday at home, who were clinical, I thought. Stourbridge was... They're interesting to watch because they're very well set up at the back, as they always are. That hasn't changed. And they're worried about losing Luke Bembo up front, when Jordan Archer have got an outstanding striker who takes his chances. They had, I think, 4 shots on goal and they scored 3 of them. Can't ask more than that from a strike force. I think Stourbridge will be up there for sure.
And that was 3-1 on the weekend for Stourbridge at Whitby Town. And what have you made of Alti, Swamper, thus far?
I think Alti are the better team, to be honest. Yeah. Some pretty football in their own half from Whitby. I was initially impressed with the movement off the ball from James Risborough. I think he's done well. But he's one of their players for me. Can he last the 90 minutes? He's going to prepare to run and challenge for balls. He looks okay, but again, you're going to need service out there. Number 9, Dave Carson for Whitby again. You can see a talent in there. Been impressed with Shane Bland. He's kept a good goalkeeper. Kept Whitby in it with 2 or 3 good very saves, good yeah. saves. And I think really Altrincham for the first 25-30 minutes were too deep. They were affording, might have been the plan, affording and allowing Whitby to come onto them a little bit. But when they had the ball, they weren't coming out together as a unit. You could see the management team say, come out a little bit more, get yourself out. They get the goal, and since then really there's only been one team in it. But at 1-0, you know, anything can happen really. We know it's been a poor start to the season for Altrincham, and their problem has been goals as well. And there will be ruin of those maybe 2 or 3 gilt-edged chances they had if they only end up with a draw here this evening.
We're here really to talk about the weekend's results, and Stourbridge have gone up to top spot, as we said there, with that 3-1 away win at the Turnbull against Whitby Town. A good result there. Warrington Town, they're in second position, and they've done it with a fine 3-0 victory against Colville. I think that sees Colville bottom of the table now, and well, it's still early days. Above them, 1 point ahead, is Altrincham and Hensford Town, so you don't imagine they'll be staying there
early
much
days.
Longer.
We've not even got out of bed yet. We've not put our slippers on. We've not even had a cocoa or a cigarette to get the day started. We can't. All we can say, we can talk about the results, but after three games, there's no form.
Runners and riders, Stourbridge and Warrington are there, though. That's where they'd like to be.
Of course, they would. Everyone would like to be up there, but you know, you're talking about teams at the bottom of the division, or they've gone. But yeah, they've got to beat, you know, Whitby here tonight.
Ignore Colville. I'm talking about. We're not talking
you
about.
You ignore Colville.
No, but I'm not talking about relegation.
There's the three listeners from Colville gone.
Tommy,
forget Colville.
We'll get Tommy Brookbanks on next week's show, and it'll all be fine. Just to say a big thank you to all the new managers in this division who joined us last week. We interviewed all four.
You were a bit mad, didn't you, last week, Ben? He left me and went, 2 days later, he went, guess what I did last night? I said, what? He said, I phoned, I think, every manager in the league. I spoke to every one of them. And because you know what Ben does, by the way, all you managers out there? The first thing Ben does when we finish our FC Live is check all. Well, I ask him to check all the results. Doesn't go to my results. He goes to all the teams that he's managers that he's interviewed to make sure that he hasn't been a jinx to you.
And it's been a good weekend for the MPL show. Yeah, 3 out of 4, and the other one was a draw. So it's good stuff. Farsley Celtic there in third position, beating Hales Owen Town 2-1 at the Grove. Hales Owen got their goal with 3 minutes left to play. Nathan Cartman and James Walshaw, shock horror on the score sheet. They're going to be pivotal this season. And how many times do you keep mentioning them? Every week?
You just got to keep looking at the score charts at this moment in time. I mean, just coming back to what Swampy said before about
the score charts.
Yes.
Do you have that score charts with
James? Yeah. That's James, a good James. Idea for a feature. Thank you very much. I'll take that.
But still going back to Altrincham, my disagreement with that is obviously teams have got to start looking quick. I mean, there's no team left in the division now with a 100% record after three games. But the more
it takes... No teams have been relegated after three games either. No teams won the league as well.
Yeah, but especially with the season as the way it's going to be, a lot of teams are going to be a lot more, as we said last week, a lot more approachable for this season to get more attacking.
Because of the way it's happening,
the more Altrincham struggle now, the harder it's going to get to them to even get anywhere close, in my personal opinion. But obviously they're doing the job at the moment.
Don't start having a row. Matlock Town, they're in fourth position, and they've done that with a home win at Causeway Lane against Altrincham by 1-0. Nearly 500 fans there at Matlock Town on Saturday. Good stuff there. And just to follow on the theme with regards to managers who've been interviewed, Witton Albion against Sutton Coldfield Town, Witton Albion winning by 1-0. The new teams in the division, they've got to be happy with how they've settled in, especially Lancaster and Farsley and Witten.
Well, as we said, Farsley, you've got two guys up top that could grace the division above, in fairness, and we saw them doing that last season, you know, on many occasions. So it's not a surprise, really. If you've got natural goal scorers and your goal scorers, and you provide them with service, they're going to score them. Witten, they'll be ecstatic at where they are. But as I say, you know, no one's getting carried away. It's at this moment in time, just getting a run together, because they're just seeing how they're playing with each other, how they're going to work with each other. And at this stage of the season, it's not necessarily about how the quality is like, it's about getting results, I suppose. You want a good start, as you're at this age, James, and being at the bottom is not the greatest thing in the world. But three, once you get to 7, 8, 9, 9, 10 games, that's when the panic can set in, and that's when you can have to make some, you know, big decisions, but not after 2 or 3 games, although we've seen managers already lose their jobs in high divisions and in lower divisions already within the first 3 or 4 weeks of this football season again.
And we've also got Grantham Town. They were top last week. They're now down to 6. Ashton United 2, Grantham Town 1 there on Saturday. And for Stafford Rangers, they were there or thereabouts, weren't they? They got beat by Buxton by 4-1 on Saturday, with Liam Hardy there getting 2 of the goals for Buxton.
You've not bigged up Buxton this season for winning, have you? But have you had your free holiday revoked and you've now chosen another team?
Just spreading my wings a bit, seeing my options, you know, that kind of thing.
So it's going to be working soon, is it? Or maybe Haven for the rugby?
Just to say then, what have you made of the other teams up at the top end?
Ander?
I think it may just be another open season where nobody really pushes on and really makes it their own. I think it might be one of those exciting seasons where we're all left guessing right up until the very end of the season. It's interesting that the one name you didn't mention in the promoted teams, Shaw Lane, the pull start that they've made, yeah. And then with that first victory of the season against Hensford on Saturday, but they're beating each other is really interesting, but it's very, very difficult to make any kind of conclusion this early in the season.
When we spoke to Craig Elliott last week, just to say they were winless before they came on this show. You're welcome, Shaw Lane. Just to add, he basically said that these opening games are essentially his pre-season.
He had no players really. They didn't even know where they were going to play. You know, so they're coming into the division this season. But after being promoted, actually, their first three games are pre-season games for them. So they have to start really, really quickly. I mean, you know, there's good finances at the football club. They brought good players in last season, the season before. So you'd expect them to do okay this season and be sort of there or thereabouts. And, you know, it's an awkward start. But as I said, there's not many managers that have come in to this division and had no pre-season whatsoever. That's a hard thing to do. And it's no surprise where they are. But they'll climb the table. Won't be a problem there.
So 3-1 against Hensford. Barwell got a good 1-0 win on Merseyside against Marine on Saturday. And Lancaster City, as we alluded to before, they got a 1-0 draw with Michelover Sports. Nantwich Town beat Workington by 2-0. A very good result that for Nantwich Town, their first win of the campaign so far. And they also got a 1-0 draw on Monday night at Stourbridge. So they've awoken, haven't they? And it's probably down to that 1-0 draw against Altrincham that's kind of kickstart the season a bit.
Possibly, I mean, you know, they've got away, they've got a good result there. As we know, Stourbridge are one of the teams that everyone will be looking at because they've done it season in, season out for the last three or four now. So to go there and get a point is always a good thing. So, you know, well done to them.
And final result from the weekend, Rush Olympic 1, Stalybridge Celtic 0. You saw Stalybridge last week and you were talking about having a problem here at Whitby for goal scoring. You didn't have a problem last week in Stalybridge. What have you made of them?
Yeah, well, I mean, they had a few problems here and there. I mean, I think heads went for a little bit for Stalybridge late in that game. I mean, Whitby scored the last two goals both late on, right at the end. I mean, 4-1 was a very flattering scoreline. It didn't quite reflect the balance of the game, but once that second goal went in for Whitby, I felt like Stalybridge heads went a little bit, and it'll be interesting to see how they equip themselves. But teams coming down,
yeah,
we know it can be difficult despite what pre-season predictions bring.
The teams are now out now, and I feel like we should mention the FA Cup, but there's so many results. Just a big congratulations to everyone from the MPL who's made it through. We're recording this on Tuesday, so we obviously don't know the midweek scoreline yet in the replays. Your highlights, James, from the weekend?
I think the big one of the weekend there is Drolsen's 4-3 win at Oss Albion, last minute winner by Alex Frost. Oss Albion were pretty much leading the title of the game, but I think more of the shocks have been the teams that have been going out, so a lot of step 6 sides knocking out some the set 4 teams. So Brockton knocking out Gresler, Harmondon, who in the FA Cup debut thanks to FA Cup Fat File, knocking out Bedworth, and obviously as well Liversedge, who are flying in the Northern Counties East, knocking out Ramsbottom United 3-2. Again, Ramsbottom were leading that 1-2-0. So it's just obviously it's the magic of FA Cup. No one knows exactly, and there's still a lot of football to be played, especially with 10 in the games tonight. One of them huge shock in Liverpool at half time. Obviously they'll need a Celtic comeback. Again, the teams that have got through, 50 teams left standing, including the Premier clubs. Let's see what happens in the next round, because there's some cracking ties there as well.
And all the ties will be available on the Euro City League website. Yes. Well, the second half's underway. A big thank you to Andrew Snaith for Whitby Town Radio. Just a quick plug for Whitby Town Radio.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. Whitby-town.com. I'm looking forward to FA Cup first qualifying round, Penistone Church away.
That's right. I saw that before. I did make a note of it. Yeah. Swampe, James, thanks for joining us.
Take back to a game of football.
And a big, big thank you to Altrincham for their wonderful hospitality on Tuesday evening. And a big thank you to Swampy, James Hayes and Whitby Town Radio's very own Andrew Snaith for joining me in the main stand there at Moss Lane. And the final score on the evening, it stayed the same. It finished Altrincham 1, Whitby Town 0. Phil Parkinson's side getting their first win of the season, taking them up to 19th position. It was a good night too for Stafford Rangers. They travelled to Michelover Sports and won by 2-0. That sees Stafford Rangers take the lead going into the bank holiday weekend. So quite a result that midweek for Stafford Rangers. And joining us now, it's the manager of Stafford Rangers. A welcome return to Neil Kitching. Hello, Neil. How's things?
Not too bad. How are you?
I'm all good. So this has been a cracking start to the season. And you were threatening last year for long periods, but you never quite got it together. But what's the secret to this start to the season for Stafford?
We've obviously recruited quite well over the summer. Strengthened at the top end of the pitch, brought a couple of 2 or 3 strikers in. Those lads are doing well, we're scoring goals. We look quite strong defensively up until the Buxton game last Saturday. But bounced back obviously Tuesday night against Michelover. And we just look a threat going forward, we're scoring goals, we've got more legs, more energy in the side, and it's given us a bit of a lift.
Now, at the moment, it's early days, obviously, but you're right about scoring goals. Most goals scored by any team at the moment, first to get to double figures. What are the lessons that you've learned from last season? Because last season, it was a kind of finding your feet at this level. What lessons have you taken into pre-season and into the season proper?
Well, we drew a lot of games last year, drew far too many games. We didn't kill games off when we were ahead. And we never seemed to claw ourselves back into games when we went behind. So we knew that was, it was an area we had to strengthen. We needed to make sure that we've got goals in the side, whether that be from the top end of the pitch or from the middle of the park. We've done that. So that's the big learning curve. You're right. I mean, the first season was all about making sure we had a little look at the level and adjusting to the level. I think we did that pretty early on last year. But we've improved the striker area, but we've also improved the legs and energy side of it, middle of the park. And that was another thing that we learned, that this league, basically every side, middle of the park, in midfield, across midfield, have got legs, have got energy, have got pace. And that's something we had to improve on. So we've done that as well.
So when we were doing our season preview show a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about, you know, the big clubs in promotion this season, Altrincham, Stalybridge, Stourbridge. Stafford Rangers are a massive club in non-league. Got to remember the history of the club. What was your target going into the season and your expectations for what Stafford Rangers could achieve come April?
We are a big club. You know, Stafford are a big club, a big fan base, you know, a decent history as well of getting up to the conference. And they are a big non-league club. But we've got to make sure that we do things right on and off the pitch. You know, we don't run before we can walk. And the big thing for me is making sure that we improve on last season. There's no targets where we must get in the playoffs, we must win the league. We just want to be better than what we were last year. And that's on and off the pitch, you know. The club off the pitch, we're still making sure that, you know, financial issues have been sorted from previous years, you know, and getting that right is important, making sure that the commercial side of the club is right off the pitch as well. And then just trying to take steps forward to improve it on and off the pitch. I think we're doing that on the pitch, but there certainly won't be any target set from me, you know, or the directors. It's just about making sure that were better than last season.
Now, Neil, I won't keep you for too much longer because obviously you're at training tonight. It's first evening.
Yes, okay.
But you have got a busy weekend to come. And, the fixture guy, whoever works in that bunker at League HQ, he doesn't know how to pick a fixture out. Workington away on Saturday. You're looking forward to that trip?
Well, I'm looking forward to the game. You know, I look forward to all the games. It's my release. I enjoy my football, but that's a long one. 4.5 hours. We'll be leaving about 8:30 from Stafford Saturday morning. We're doing an hour and a half tonight training, just some prep for the game. But, you know, it's a big commitment from that side of it, making sure players get to the ground on time and getting up there. It'll be tough. Any away game's tough, but especially when you're on a coach for 4.5 hours, it's a big ask to try and get a result up there. And then, obviously, we've got to make sure we're fully prepared for a big, big local derby on Monday against Hensford.
And I was going to say that the guy isn't a sadist. He's giving you a home match on the Monday. But how do you prepare for that? You've got training tonight, the 4-hour trip to Workington, and then another match 48 hours later. It seems a lot to cram in. How do you prepare?
It is. Well, you don't. You can't prepare for Monday. You can't prepare for Monday. You have it in the back of your mind. But your preparation is Saturday against Workington, and the prep for Hensford starts, you know, Saturday night, Sunday morning. And that's what we've just done previously. You know, we played Buxton last Saturday, you know, and the prep for Michelover was done on a Sunday. you know, and that's what will happen this week. Don't look too far ahead of yourself. Don't take too many steps forward. Let's try and get something at Workington. Let's try and get in and out of there without any injuries that gives us a chance of picking a side that can get a result on Monday.
Well, Neil Kitchen, manager at Stafford Rangers, a big thank you for joining us this week. And, well, safe journey up to Workington, safe journey back, and have a good weekend.
Thanks ever so much. Thank you. Cheers.
And a big thank you there to Neil Kitching for joining me, Stafford Rangers manager there, joining us on the Evostick NPL show this week. Farsley Celtic there in second position. They had a big reunion with their old friends Lancaster City on Tuesday evening. It finished 0-0 in that game, sees Lancaster City drop down to 11th position, but still very early days. Farsley Celtic in second. In third position, and we alluded to it earlier, Stourbridge. Stourbridge got a point on Monday evening at home to Nantwich Town. And in the week, Gary Hackett, manager at Stourbridge, he caught up with Black Country Radio's very own and friend of the show, Adam Parks. Let's hear what Gary Hackett had to say.
So, Gary, four games into the season, what have you learned so far?
There is a very tough competitive league. You know, four tough games. We picked up 8 points. There's only one team who've better off, which is Stafford Rangers. I will say, in terms of points, pretty happy. In terms of performances, much more to come. I think everybody's got to realise, you know, we are in a transitional period. A lot of new players. Losing Caldin Brown was a bit of a blow. It's taken away a bit of width, which obviously I need to replace. And just got to be a little bit patient, and that was the important thing of banging points on the board, which is allowing me just a little bit of patience. But we'll be fine when everybody gets to know each other, and maybe, you know, one stroke or two additional new faces.
Looking at some of the comments from some of the supporters who have been to the games, it seems to be quantity rather than quality is what they're noticing. Plenty of hard effort, but perhaps a lack of cutting edge.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think you know, the effort has been outstanding, and one thing when you're when things are not quite falling into place, when, you know, people are trying to get familiar themselves, and in terms of strengths and weaknesses, one thing you want to make sure is that you're hard to beat, and, you know, without question, we've done that. And you know, people who know me, you know, I want to see quality attacking football. I want to see loads of chances created. I want to see us have more possession, and it's a rarity that, you know, at the start of the season that's happened. But rest assured, you know, it will be changing.
On the positive side, you said to me before the season started that we can't have a bad start to the season as we did last, and you got points on the board, as you rightly say. You got 8 points from four games, so you're happy with where you are at this stage?
As I said, I'm happy with a points return. It's always tough to get points on the board, you know. And as I've just stated, am I happy with performances? I know there's a marked room for improvement, and as I said, we are very much in transitional period with a lot of new players. And, you know, if I'm being honest, I haven't quite found the formation that I'm looking for, but I'm not far away.
At the moment, when you look at your starting 11 and your formation, are you taking it on a team-by-team basis, depending on who you're facing?
Not so much that. I think it's a case of personnel. I mean, you know, people have got to realise for Saturday's game, we were missing five key players from the very first game of the season. You know, when you're taking out Caldin Brown, Jack Duggan wasn't fully fit, Leon Broadhurst, Connor Gator, Jordan Murphy. You know, it's one heck of a lot of five quality players to lose. And that's why, at some stage, I was quite pleased with the point against, you know, a very good Nantwich side.
Does that sort of frustrate you, the inconsistency that you can get the result up in Whitby, which, of course, is a long way to go to? And don't forget, there's been a huge reverse up there in recent seasons. And then perhaps a not so strong Nantwich as they used to be and only getting the point?
No, not at all. I think you're underestimating Nantwich. I think they've got some very good players, and you know, yes, they've lost a few to Altrincham, but they've signed some quality players. And you know, this league is a very, very tough league. And you know, if anyone wants to underestimate teams, they can do, but I certainly won't be. And I think sometimes, looking from the outside in, people never realise, you know, what budgets teams have got, what quality players they've brought in. But, you know, we do our homework, and as I said, you know, there's not too many teams that, you know, you soft touches in this league.
Briefly, let's talk about the weekend. You welcome Marine.
We've always found them very tough games, you know, even home and away, and they, you know, they've had a fantastic win at Stalybridge on Tuesday night, so they're certainly not to be underestimated. They've signed a few new players, but you know, we'll, you know, it'd be nice to get off to our first win. You know, we've had two very tough, tight draws, which could have gone either way. I know that. But, you know, it'll be nice to see if we can get 3 points. And then after that, obviously, we're on to a local derby against Rushall on Monday.
How do you look at Rushall? Because they were top of the league at Christmas last season. They've had a bit of a slide since.
I think they won on Saturday, got their first result of the season. They had a good draw at Barwell, albeit, you know, it was 4-4. They're very much, I think they've virtually had to rebuild a side, and you know, it takes time there, and local derbies, who knows. As I said, we'll always go into a game with confidence, believing we could win, but I certainly don't expect a win, because, you know, they're hard earned, and I think if you go into games just thinking you're going to turn up and win because we're Stourbridge, you'll come unstuck, and maybe, you know, we've never taken teams for granted like that.
Well, I think the point you're rightly saying is that Marine getting their first win, Rushall getting their first win. You look at the league table in general and how cramped it is for points at the moment. Everybody's capable of beating everybody else.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's four games played. I think every team in the division has won a game. Obviously, Stafford atop with 9 points. So there's nobody who's managed to win all four games. So that shows how competitive it is. And as I said, you know, we're sitting in third place, albeit, you know, a little bit with a goal difference. But we'll take that at the moment, and we'll keep working hard. And, you know, sooner or later, the jigsaw falls into place.
Very briefly, Loughborough Dynamo is who you've got in the first qualifying round of the FA Cup. The long road starts again. I presume you want another cup run and get as far as you can.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, we are certain not kind of, you know, 5 times in 8 years or however many it is, certainly doesn't diminish your kind of enthusiasm for it. And, you know, it doesn't take me to say there have been some very, very, very special moments over the years, and, you know, ones that we cherish and will not be forgotten. So, yeah, of course, we'd like another run. Tricky game. You know, they're a decent team in their division. We've got to go there, but, you know, if you're going to go to the first, second, third round, these are the teams that you got to turn over.
And a big, big thank you there to Black Country Radio and Adam Parks for that interview there. That was Gary Hackett, manager at Stourbridge there, talking in the week about the start to the season that Stourbridge have had, which at the moment, after 4 games, see Stourbridge in third position, 1 point off league leaders Stafford Rangers. And we should say Black Country Radio have full commentary this weekend of all kinds of games in the NPL. On Saturday, they'll be travelling to Buxton, though, with full commentary of Buxton against Hales Owen. More on both clubs in a second or two. In fourth position, we've got Matlock Town. Matlock Town had an epic encounter on Tuesday evening, finished 3-3 away from home at Sutton Coldfield Town. That sees Matlock Town in fourth position. Sutton Coldfield sits in 16th position. In fifth position are Ashton United. They got a wonderful result on Tuesday night, beating Warrington Town away from home. Sees Ashton United leapfrog over Warrington Town. Ashton United now in fifth position. Warrington Town dropped to seventh. Witton Albion sit just outside the playoffs, only in goal difference, though. It's very early days. But Witton Albion, they got a very good 1-1 draw away from home at Workington. Sees Workington in 17th position in the league table in these early rounds of the competition. While in 8th position, we've got Barwell. Now, let's talk about this match now. Barwell 4, Rushall Olympic 4. We're now joined by the Rushall Olympic manager. Please welcome to the show, Wayne Thomas. Hello, Wayne. Welcome to the show. 4-4. Now, let me just get this result up. So it went 1-0 to Rushall, 2-0 to Rushall. Then Barwell get one back. Then they get an equaliser. Then they take the lead. Then you get an equaliser. Then they think they get a winner on the 90th minute. And then Lewis Probert steps up and gets an equaliser right at the death for Rushall Olympic. That's a hell of a game to be involved with. How was it on the sidelines?
Horrendous, to be honest with you. It is absolutely horrific. No, the boys done exceptionally well, first off, against a very strong, very tough, and historically very difficult Barwell team, especially at their place. And to go in 2-0 up was fantastic. Barwell changed their formation second half, went a little bit more direct, and tried to use their physicality more. And all credit to them that they did that. They imposed themselves on the game very quickly, second half, and got it to 3-2. But I think the most pleasing thing for myself and the staff was the character that what is essentially a very young group of under 23s players showing the resilience and the strength of character to come back and make it 3-3. And as you say, when the 4-3 goes in on the 90th minute and they're celebrating, it was sort of head in hand time. But again, the head didn't drop and they carried on and thankfully got the fourth and the equaliser in the 94th minute. So after that, it sort of felt like a win, to be honest with you. You know, I think that if you looked at the faces of the Barwell players after the game, it was like they'd lost the game. And if you looked at ours, it would like we won the game, you know. So it was a fantastic result, very pleasing.
And obviously, you've come in this over the summer and taken over from John Allen, who did an excellent job of juggling many tasks last season at the club. Before Christmas, Rush Olympic were there or thereabouts up at the top end. Then they lost Alex Reid, and then it kind of descended a bit and fizzled out towards the end of the season. What were your expectations for this season?
John done exceptionally well last year. It's difficult just managing a team, let alone trying to run a football club as well, you know. So all credit to where he was. And yes, they lost Reedy at the end of the Christmas period. And it did seem to affect the team. And they sort of went downhill a little bit from there. But when I came in, I spoke to John about what he wanted to achieve and what his visions for the club were. And they aligned with my own. But we'd looked historically and the club had sort of been declining over the past 5 years in terms of league positioning and points tally. So that's something that we're going to look to try and halt and really look to move the club in a new direction. Yes, we understand it's a results-based business, but also a small club like Rushall on the doorstep of the likes of Walsall, it's very difficult to get the footfall through the door, you know. And in that sense, then you have to look at how you can make the club self-sustainable. And that's going to be one of our primary goals, and that's to make the team competitive in the league, but also to make the club self-sustaining and hopefully profitable in the years to come. And that's going to be by bringing young players through the Rushall youth system, or from a lot of league clubs in and around that area that sort of release players at 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, up to 23s, and we're looking to give them another chance, you know, and try and put the work in to get those players to sort of polish them off as they were and get them involved in men's football. Because as you know, and as has been well reported, that the sort of under 23s and academy football is very different to the non-league game. And I think that's why you're seeing now a lot more players coming out of non-league and going into to professional environments rather than looking at their own youth players, if that makes any sense to you.
And that kind of conveyor belt mentality, I mean, you're involved in that as part of your day job, really, aren't you, Wayne? So that's where your enthusiasm lies, and that's really the bread and butter when it comes to non-league football. The clubs who have that conveyor belt tend to do very, very well on the pitch and off it in many ways as well.
Exactly. I mean, that's what we want to do. We want to get engaged with the Rushall community at large and involved with the schools and the services, the public services and all that sort of stuff and get a real community feel back to the club. And like you say, we want there to be a conveyor belt of players moving up through the leagues. And we've recruited players that by rights we shouldn't have. And we've also taken players that no one else would ever dream of looking at. Ones that have come through open trials that were just posted on Twitter and we had 60 turn up on day one. And there are a couple in our first team that are starting at the moment that have come through that process and they're already attracting a little bit of interest, you know. So if we can get that going and we can look to move a few on, because that's ultimately what we want to do. We're not in the business of getting players and holding on to them. We want players here that are here for the right reasons and not for the money, you know. We sign players for less money than they've been offered at other clubs, because what we're promoting to them is, look, you're going to get an opportunity to play. We're not going to be rotating 50 players in and out of the squad over the season. We've got our squad. This is what we're going to work with. We're going to develop and get better both as individuals to hopefully for you to kick on to the next level. Also as a team and the club at home. And that's what we've sold. And that's why I think we've got a very good group of young players that are going to get better and are showing that they're getting better already after the first four games.
The next two games are going to be very, very interesting for the club. I mean, it's a tough weekend coming up. Farsley Celtic away, and then you've got that nice game against Stourbridge.
Listen, historically everybody knows this is a very difficult league that we're in.
It's relentless. It's 46 games long, and that's not including any cup games and whatnot. So it's a case of Saturday, Tuesday with some Monday games thrown in. So it's testing and demanding for a lot of people, you know, and there's different ways and the methods that teams are used to try and combat that. But yeah, it's, every game's going to be really difficult. And as I say, especially as a young group, it's a massive learning curve. But as I said before, they need to learn very quickly. Which they seem to be doing really well at the minute. Saturday we've got Fardley away, and that's going to be a tough game. They got promoted last year, and they really continue with their momentum. They started off very, very well, and we've got to look after the two strikers who are in the goals again, you know. And then, as you say, we have very little rest time with a Sunday, and then we're straight into a local derby. So. That'll be interesting, but hopefully we can come out of that with a positive points total.
Well, Wayne Thomas, manager at Rush Olympic, absolute pleasure having you on the show. Thanks for taking time out of your busy day, and enjoy your bank holiday weekend.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me too, and hopefully it will be an enjoyable bank holiday weekend.
And a big thank you there to Wayne Thomas, manager at Rushall Olympic, for joining me on this week's show. And following that 4-all draw away at Barwell, it sees Rushall Olympic move up the table slightly, up to 18th position. Grantham Town have dropped down to 9th position. They were beaten 1-0 at home to Colville Town. That's Colville Town's first win of the season and sees them lifted off the bottom of the table now. They've leapfrogged over Stalybridge Celtic, who now sit bottom of the table. They were defeated at Bowerfold by Marine by 2-0. That sees Marine up to 12th position. Up to 10th position is Shaw Lane. They got an excellent result away from home at Silverlands, beating Buxton by 2-0. That sees Shaw Lane up to 10th position. And Hensford Town, they've moved up to 15th position with their first win of the season. That took place at home on Tuesday night against Hales Owen Town. Neil Tooth's side there winning by 2-0. And joining me now from the Supporters Association, it's the chairman, Scott Smith. Hello, Scott. How's things?
Hello there, Ben. Yeah, all good, thank you. Especially after the victory in midweek, which you just mentioned.
It's welcomed, isn't it? Because Hensford Town is the first competitive win of the season, first competitive win under Neil Tooth's tenure. How's the season gone so far in the first four games or so at Hensford?
Yeah, I suppose Tuesday night was a bit of a monkey off the manager's back, so to speak. I'm guessing he is very much pleased with how things went on Tuesday, because that was his first competitive victory in as Hensford Town manager. And actually for the club itself, that's our first victory in 10 games going back to last season, so it was very much needed. And at the start of the season, obviously we've played 4 games, we've won 1. The other night, we drew the first game of the season against Ashley United, then we've lost against Shaw Lane and Matlock. So, yeah, a bit mixed, but look, Rome wasn't built in a day. We've changed the whole squad, and no doubt things will continue to get better over the course of the season. And I know all Hensford Town fans, all that we want this season is just a consistent season with the same manager in charge for at least one season.
And that was the thing, wasn't it, about last season? I mean, Liam McDonald, again, another cracking manager, another cracking guest to always get on the show. He's very knowledgeable about football. But then that moved to Solihull Moors, and Hensford never really recovered from the changes of management that went on last season. We've already spoke to Neil Kitchen at Stafford Rangers about, you know, the size of Stafford Rangers, and obviously I know your local rivals and that kind of thing. But Hensford Town is another massive non-league club, and it does feel like, you know, along with Stafford Rangers and the likes of Altrincham and Stourbridge and Workington, that they should be at least one step higher. How's the mood amongst the support base over recent years, and how's it been transformed under Neil Tooth and this steadying the ship going on?
Yeah, I think obviously everyone was disappointed when the club got relegated out of the National League North, because obviously a lot of hard work had gone into getting up there, and you know, and we competed quite well, and then to come down with you know, was another pretty disastrous season. And how this time last year we looked like we'd rebuilt well and we're pushing on, you know, and then unfortunately we had that that season where again a manager left in October to go to a higher placed team, and then the new manager Paul Casey had to come in and rebuild a whole squad again because a lot of players left, so which is always difficult during the season because players, you know, the best players are going to stop at the clubs where they're playing and happy. So, you know, and then we had obviously Paul Casey-Lest and Gary Birch came in, and again, another manager wants to put you down and stamp on a team, and it was just really stop-stop. I think Hensford fans have obviously, understandably, been a bit cautious because of what's sort of gone on in the last couple of years, but the more they meet with Neil Tooth, because he's really open with supporters, you know, he wants to get them on side as well, which has been really great to see since he was appointed in May. The more they're buying into it, and hopefully people will start to trickle back in. And we all know that if you can, you know, get the wins on the board, then that breeds people coming back in. And, you know, if they can win again on Saturday, potentially against Lancaster, and then, you know, the next home game isn't until the middle of September, but hopefully that could bring more supporters through the gate.
Now, you mentioned that Rome wasn't built in a day, but it was built eventually, and the people who built it were the Romans. And I'm going somewhere with this analogy, I can assure you, Scott. And that's and that's to the recent news that the Keys Park has had some improvements with regards to the disabled facilities at Keys Park. And that's all thanks in part to the work that's been put in by the Hensford Town Supporters Association. Tell us a bit more about where these improvements came from and the work that's gone into improving the facilities.
Yeah, it was around this time last year that at one of our monthly meetings, because each year we like to do a different project. We've fundraised for the club shop, we've done maintenance and bought items for the pitch. And this time last year it was sort of raised that one sort of part of the ground where it was lacking on one side of the ground was a disabled shelter as such, because there is one behind the goal, which is fantastic, and there are seats in there. But the one sort of just in the main stand area, unfortunately, the seats had become quite old and they'd had to be, for safety reasons, had to be removed. So it was felt that this disabled shelter would be a good project to put efforts towards. So what we're quite good at in the Supporters Association, fans are really good at getting behind things that we say we're going to do. So we wrote to a couple of organisations, and we had grants from Persimmon Homes and the local town council. And also, we were really delighted to get funds from actual supporters themselves. A couple called Harry and Chris Wilkes gave £200 out of their own pocket towards the project, and another guy called Alan Barker gave some money as well. And all that, along with the fundraising through our Pittman Prize draw, which we do each month and put supporters pay into, and 50% go to projects like this, helps make sure that we can raise the funds throughout the season. And eventually we managed to get the right company to come and do it, and it's been installed over the summer, and now supporters who are disabled can come to Keys Park. They're fully covered with a shelter, and obviously their carers or family can sit with them as well.
Well, it's cracking stuff. And we should say as well, for more information on the Supporters Association, htfcsa.co.uk. And actually, on the website, I can see there's an event coming up on the 15th of September. It's a Supporters Association quiz night at the Chase Suite, 8 o'clock on the 15th of September. I'm assuming there's going to be all kinds of fun and games there. I'm assuming nobody's going to be giving you the answers either, Scott, and it's all going to be fair and above board.
Yeah, very much so. Although I actually hate to say it, I'm missing it myself because I'm going to be in Las Vegas. So,
well, yes, yes.
I turned 30 this year, and we're all going on a big holiday for my friends from Hensford. So we're actually going to be missing the football as well, for my shame. So I'm sure it'll be a great night, because it's another thing that we do two quiz nights a year, along with a race night and a Skittles night, and all those fun help manage to, you know, come together to help support projects like the disabled shelter.
Well, it's cracking stuff, and keep up the good work, everyone involved with the Hensford Town Support Association. Cracking stuff. And Scott Smith, the chair of the Support Association, keep it quiet that you're going on holiday. You never know, Neil Tooth might go on a big run of form now, and in which case everyone's going to be looking at you going, don't come back. And you don't want that to happen, do you, Scott, really? So
definitely not.
have a lovely birthday, mate, and keep up the good work. And thanks for coming on the MPL show this week.
Not a problem. Thanks very much for having us.
Very shortly, we're going to be speaking to the non-league papers and the Yorkshire Evening Post's very own Tom Feeney with a preview for all this weekend's matches in the MPL Premier Division. But before that, just a quick piece of news with regards to international football. That's right. And proud volunteers and officials at Evo Stick League Division 1 Southside Leek Town are looking forward to hosting yet another England international at their Harrison Park home. The Blues, who've successfully staged a number of internationals from friendlies to UEFA youth qualifiers over the last three seasons, are set to host England versus South Africa under-18s on Monday, the 4th of September. And joining me now for more on this, we're joined by the chairman at Leek Town. Please welcome John Eales. So, hello, John. Well, welcome to the show. Firstly, a big congratulations on hosting yet another international. I mean, what's the secret at Harrison Park?
if it's a trade secret, I need to keep it quiet, don't you? I think initially, if you can host one game for them and you do a good job, it's easy for them to keep coming back. And we were lucky enough to get one 2.5 seasons ago, and it's kind of built from there, really.
And what does it mean for the club, essentially, the prestige of it, as well as all the volunteers who... Because we obviously, it's not just this international. I mean, you hosted the Dudeson final as well. We had a cracking night there back in, I think it was April, wasn't it, or March? But towards the end of last season. The stadium, it really is a cracking venue for football.
Yeah, it is. It's a typical non-league ground that's quite tight. And we look after it very well. The pitch, as everyone knows, had quite a bit of investment 2.5 years ago, and that's paid dividends, which has allowed us, I think the first year we played 63 games on it, the second year we played 80 games on it, and it looks as good now as it did the day it was laid, really. So the pitch is a large part of it, and we're such friendly and accommodating people in Leek as well, which always helps.
And we should say as well, I mean, we're talking about the venue of Harrison Park. At the moment, it's hosting Division 1 South matches. I'm imagining being there or thereabouts since we started this show of getting yourselves back up to the Premier. I'm assuming that's the ultimate aim for this season with Neil Baker in charge.
Yes, I mean, no one's really mentioned the P word, pre-season, because you don't want to build expectations too much. Neil will put himself under pressure. We felt as though when Neil was available, he was the right person to take us forward, whether that's this season or the season after, or the season after that. It remains to be seen. What I do think, from what I've seen of the 3-4 games that we've started, the league's quite strong. Everyone's been quite cagey. So it's going to be very close again.
And it's one of them things as well. I mean, we did have a couple of people from Division 1 on last week, and I never asked this question, and I wish I had. When it comes to Step 4, what does it mean for, as a chairman, this carrot that's dangling for the third best placed team and the chance of maybe seventh getting in the playoffs this season? Is there an extra incentive to go for it this year with the relegation spots not being that applicable, or does it make it a bit more trickier?
I think it's that carrot is there. I've spoken to a few of my counterparts in other clubs around here, Kidsgrove, who we enjoy very good relationships with, and we're all of the same view. That third promotion spot is very much an incentive that you can go for, and I do think come Christmas or just after Christmas there'll be a couple of teams who are there or thereabouts and think, yeah, stick or twist, let's go for it.
And speaking of going for it, just before you go, John, just a quick mention for the FA Cup. Congratulations on getting past Camel Laird in the last round. That's now through to the first qualifying round. And Shepshed Dynamo awaits. I think somebody's played them before. I can't remember who, but I think someone did come a cropper against them. I'm jinxing you now, aren't I? I shouldn't really do this.
They beat Rainworth and Kimberley in the cup, and they did lose to North Allerton last night. So, we have been watching them. The first time we got to the playoffs about four seasons ago, we beat them 5-0 at home to go through one goal difference, which I think relegated them that year as well. So it's a long time since we played them. They'll be a tough proposition. They've got quite a few ex-Division 1 South players playing for them. Alex Stroke's there, ex-Carlton, ex-Colville. So they'll be a difficult team to beat. I don't think you can be complacent at this time in terms of these rounds in the FA Cup. So we'll go there expecting a tough game.
Well, it, just in case I don't speak to you before that match, I could safely say this, John, because they're no longer in the league, as you've alluded. I hope you win, and I hope you make it.
Thank you very much.
No problem at all. And once again, a big congratulations to yourself and everyone associated with Leek Town on hosting yet another England international. Superb stuff at Harrison Park and a cracking venue.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Ben, and make sure you push it. We want a big crowd.
Well, John Eales, thank you for joining us from Leek Town.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
And a big thank you to the chairman there at Leek Town, John Eales, for joining us on this week's show. Very shortly, we will be speaking to Tom Feeney about this weekend's fixtures in the NPL Premier Division, but just sticking with Division 1 South for a moment or two. And Chasetown are running a poll of their best players over the last decade to celebrate the upcoming 10th anniversary of their record-breaking run in the third round of the FA Cup. The Scholars launched the competition this week following a suggestion from fan Nigel Miller after their 2-0 win over Worcester City on Tuesday evening in the FA Cup preliminary round replay. And for more on this now, we're joined by the club's press officer. Please welcome to the show Paul Mullins. So hello, Paul. Welcome to the show. We'll get to the poll in a second or two, but a big congratulations on making it through to the next round of the FA Cup. Quite a result that against Worcester City on Tuesday.
Yeah, it was a difficult game to know how it would go. Obviously, they've come from a higher level, but in the pyramid, technically, show was lower. So it was a tough game on Sunday. We had a player sent off. They had a player sent off. We had a goalkeeper injury. It was a dramatic game, so it was nice to get through.
Worcester City, they are a big fish at that level of the competition, because last season they were in the National League North, but due to circumstances at the club, they're playing now where they have to play in the preliminary round. So it was a big upset, and has that kind of rekindled a bit of those thoughts of that famous FA Cup run 10 years ago now, when you think to yourself, oh, we could go on an FA Cup run?
I think it all came about because we're trying to get a bit more interest in the website. And so we started doing polls for the man of the match. Rather than a group of fans pick man of the match, we're asking the supporters to do it. So we thought, what else can we do to generate people to look at our website and go on the polls? And one of our season ticket holders, Nigel Miller, suggested, what about our all-time best goalkeeper, defender, midfielder and striker? But then we thought, well, most of our fans are only post-FA Cup run anyway, so we use that as a cut-off point. And of course, with it being 10 years since Cardiff, it seemed the perfect year to do it.
And you say, you know, you obviously got a big influx of supporters on the back of that FA Cup run, and that goes to show you the power of the FA Cup when it comes to for non-league sides. And just to mention for the league as well, we've obviously just spoke to the chairman at Leek Town. Division 1 South this season it's always competitive, but it's more so this season with the potential for an extra automatic promotion spot and maybe the playoffs going down to 7th. Chasetown have always been one of them clubs since we've been doing the show where they've in recent years they've come there or thereabouts, but they show promise early in the season but then fade away somewhat in the second half. What's the expectation this season in the league for Chasetown?
I have to confess that's a very difficult one to answer, having just got the new manager in and a new set of players. When Scott Dundas first came in, most of the players had already committed to new clubs for the new season. Scott was left with just goalkeeper Curtis Pond, who built his own squad. On our first day of the season, we had 9 players making full debuts. So it's difficult to assess at the moment, but there's a feel-good factor about the club at the moment. The fans are excited about what's happening. Scott and his management team have made a very good impression, has targeted being in or around the playoffs for his first season as being a good achievement. So hopefully we can get some points on the board tomorrow.
And just remind me as well, I'm pretty sure, going back to the FA Cup, I'm pretty sure Scott Dundas was in charge at Norton, wasn't he? I'm sure he was in charge of Norton. So we've come back full circle again. And well, there we go. And obviously, you know, Norton, under Scott Dundas, proved that everyone at this level is capable of a good cup run. And hopefully, you never know, that might happen with Chasetown once again. And it'd be quite fitting in the 10th anniversary since the last time Chasetown went on an epic run. Press officer at Chasetown, Paul Mullins, a big thank you for joining us. A big congratulations on the FA Cup victory midweek. And we'll enjoy your weekend.
Thank you very much.
And for more information on the poll for Chasetown's best player over the last 10 years, please visit the Chasetown website. That's at pitchero.com/clubs/Chasetown. So it's fixture preview time, and we're looking ahead now to this weekend's fixtures in the EvoStick Northern Premier League Premier Division. And joining me now, hand in hand, to look ahead at some exciting fixtures this coming weekend, we're now joined by the welcome return to the show. Please welcome from, now let me get this list out here, here we go. Right. The Yorkshire Evening Post, the National League, from Pitchero, from the non-league paper, please welcome back to the show, Tom Feeney. Hello Tom, how's things?
I'm not too bad, thank you. How are you?
I'm all good. I was adding to that list as you were talking to me earlier. So thanks for the updates on your career. It's a hell of a CV you're building, that's for sure, Thomas. Right, so let's start this weekend by just your general vibe so far about how the season's gone. In particular, last season we had you more on the Division One show, and we were talking about that title race with Farsley Celtic and Lancaster City, and those two have been quite pivotal in this opening gambit of the season, haven't they?
Yeah, they most certainly have, and I think when you actually look at what happened with Farsley in terms of obviously the management situation changing like it did, you've got to give Adam Lakeland a lot of credit here, because to have the team on, second in the league, a really positive start as well. I think it just shows you when Adam came in, he very quickly got the squad together that he wanted. He was able to get a few lads in from Brighouse that, he seemed to know and knew their strengths. And you've got to say, it's been a remarkable start for them. And as for Lancaster, looking at that, where they are mid-table, I think, only four games in, obviously, you can't read too much into it, but both of them have made an encouraging start, but certainly a better one for Farsley so far.
Absolutely, and we should say, I've got Jason Ainsley in my head, and he always used to say about Spennymoor, it's 32 points from safety, that kind of thing, really underplaying it, but the pair of them have really hit the ground running when it comes from Division 1 North. And Farsley Celtic, they start this weekend with a game against Rushall Olympic, and we've already spoke to Wayne there at Rushall Olympic. They've had a bit of a slowish start, but they're off the mark now with 4 points. It's going to be a tough game, this one, for Farsley, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is, and I think that's the big thing here, is that momentum that Rushall just starting to pick it up. You get that first win, you add to it as well, get to 4 points, and all of a sudden, I think the big thing with Wayne Thomas, and he'd admit that himself, is he's a manager who, very much is, he's learning while it's all happening as well. And another manager that's had to come in and make, quite a few substantial changes in terms of the playing arrangement they've got there. So, again, I look at Rushall, I do just think they're a team that they will be fine at the end of it all. And it is going to be a real tough test for Farsley to see, if they can keep this run going, and potentially, they could end Saturday at the top of the table.
Well, that's a good segue there, Thomas, and I do appreciate a good segue. And that leads us to the top of the table. At the moment, Stafford Rangers are up at the top of the table, bouncing back midweek with a very good 3 points on the road at Mickleover Sports. Always a difficult place to go to, Mickleover, but Stafford Rangers getting the job done there. This weekend, Stafford Rangers will be travelling to Workington. Now, there's some places on the map of England where you think to yourself, that's a hell of a trip there, and Workington's one of those places. That said, Workington's start to the season, I was expecting it to be a bit more, what's the word I'm looking for? A bit more bouncy going into the season. But then again, Workington go up and down like a yo-yo. I think the only thing we can safely say is that they'll probably be in the playoffs by the end of the season.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't write them off. Even if they were where they are in about December, I'd still think they'll probably get there, because they always seem to pull it out the bag in the end. But yeah, like yourself, I'm a little bit surprised at how slow the start has been for them, to be 17th in the table after four games. 4 points from those four games as well, and so far not being able to pick up a point away from home. So I think when you look at it, though, again, another team from last season who was so near and yet so far from going up and getting into the National League North. And I think, you look at that Workington team, there is so much quality in there that those results will come eventually. But, it really is going to be a tough game for Stafford. I think the big thing for them is the fact that they've had that loss and then being able to get a win after it. It's that worry of, you have one loss, you can quickly get two, and it's kind of going in a bit of a spiral. But with them, they've already got that other win, and they'll be hoping they can kind of build a bit more momentum going forward.
And the ironic thing about who they're playing this weekend is Workington are currently 17th, which is pretty much where Stafford were all last season, threatening a late run on the playoffs, but it never happened. A much better start to this campaign. And we heard from Neil Kitching earlier, and we don't want to jinx it for them, but they've started the campaign really, really well. As of Stourbridge, Stourbridge in third position. This weekend, they'll be hosting Marine. And Marine have... They've got a bit of bite to a Marine, haven't they, at the moment?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, you look at the way last season ended for them, they picked up some impressive results. And I think, you know, you can tell that last season they were using it very much to be in a position where they could start this campaign with that bit more momentum, a bit more of a bounce to them. And, you know, so again, they've got a decent enough squad there where you could see them being one of the outsiders in terms of maybe trying to break into them playoff places, just with the fact they've got a manager who knows, you know, so much about it all, and then what they've been able to add as well. So, again, you know, like with a lot of these games, they are at this point, with only four games gone, I think there's one or two teams where I'd be expecting them to be a lot higher, one or two a bit lower. But I think all in all, you know, teams like Marine, they'd look at the points they're on. You know, they're going to win, a win at home, a win away, and then a loss at home and a loss away. So for them, it would be just a case of trying to find a little bit more consistency maybe at the home patch. But if they can do that, you know, I do think they'll have a good season.
And we should say, I think everyone would agree that Stourbridge are pretty much where everyone would expect them to be. One of the favourites this season for promotion. Matlock Town were there or thereabouts throughout most of last season, faded away towards the end. This weekend, they'll be travelling to Warrington Town. Now, Warrington Town have had a very good start to the season. Again, one of the runners and riders in our predictions show. I think Matlock Town, though, they're doing really, really well at the moment. What do you think? I mean, Warrington Town, they got that 1-0 defeat midweek, didn't they, against Ashton United. They'll be looking to bounce back this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, you look at Matlock, they really should be top of the table. They conceded late in midweek, and that meant that they dropped 2 points, and it sees them fourth at the moment. And, you know, when you look at Warrington, another team that last season it looked to me just for a little bit like they were going to be the ones that, you know, snuck into them playoffs. In the end, it didn't happen. They just seemed to run out of steam right at the last. But again, it's really too close to call this one, because I do think at the end of it, these two sides will be very, very close to each other. And it's the whole thing. I suppose both could argue they've had that little bit of disappointment in terms of dropping points in games maybe where they felt they could have picked up a bit more. But again, you know, for me, that to me is going to be a score draw for just the quality that both teams have.
And Ashton United, they're in fifth position. And last season was a bit of a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like a lost season, wasn't it, for Ashton United? This is pretty much where they've been ever since we've started this show over five seasons. There or thereabouts in the playoff positions. And I reckon Joni Bannon will be happy with Ashton's start. They're travelling to Sutton Coldfield Town, who themselves, I think, much more pleased with the start they've had to this campaign compared to this time last season.
Yeah, definitely. I think that just sums it up, doesn't it, in terms of, you know, where they are right now. You know, 4 points on the board, point a game at the moment compared to last season. But, you know, it were interesting with Ashton last time round, because to me it felt quite early on like it was going to be a transition season, in terms of it just never felt like they really were going to get going. And in the end, obviously, that's what happened. But I think they've been able to use that, you know, instead of having it as a negative that they weren't really able to progress like they'd have liked to during the last season, they were able to use that. And, you know, like you said, they're always there or thereabouts, apart from last season, in this league. So if they can continue that, you know, because when you look at this in terms of the table, the teams that I thought, if I'm being honest, would be, you know, in those top places, obviously they're not there right now for myself. So it's interesting to see which team can try and take advantage of that.
Now, we started this bit of the show talking about the new boys to the division from Division 1 North. Of course, Witton Albion came up from Division 1 South, and they've had a cracking start, a very credible draw away from home at Workington midweek. Witton Albion have had a good start, and this weekend they're travelling to Barwell, who themselves have had a good start. That 4-4 draw midweek, I mean, we spoke about it earlier, superb stuff there. Barwell, 1 point from the player positions after four games, and I think Jimmy Ginnelly would have took that at the start of the season.
Yeah, definitely. And I've heard comments from him during pre-season about how it very much was a case that, you know, they'd like to have got points on the board, and they had a certain aim in terms of, you know, from the opening little section of matches. And I think what they've been able to do is they've shown a lot going forward, you know, in terms of you know, they've been able to get goals. It's just maybe a case of just looking and seeing whether or not they can, you know, keep them out a little bit more. But in terms of the way that that game's going, again, you know, you look at Witten, and another team that have come up and are certainly proving the, you know, proving the worth in the league. And it does feel to me that, you know, the teams that have come up have had that mentality of, we're going to, you know, we last season we got into the playoffs, so we went up automatically. We've got that winning mentality, and that what the management teams have been able to do for them sides is very much to say, right, we'll keep it at that then. You know, there's no need to make any drastic changes to that mentality, and it seems to be, from these opening four games, working.
And Grantham Town there in ninth, on last week's show, they were one of the teams with 100% records, but that obviously that defeat midweek at home to Colville Town, as Grantham Town in ninth, there's still 2 points on the player positions. They'll be hosting Whitby Town this weekend, and I saw Whitby Town on Tuesday night. Very, very good going forward. Bit fragile at the back, but I was surprised with how effective they were going forward, considering they had lost Dale Hobson at the start of the season. So there is room for improvement, obviously, at Whitby, but nothing to worry about, I wouldn't have thought, at this stage.
No, I think losing someone like Hobson was always going to be a real blow for them. And when you look at what he's been able to do the league above at Blythe Spartans already, playing week in, week out for them, and also getting, you know, a goal or two, it just shows you what a contribution he gave to Whitby. And I know that, you know, they've tried to replace him, and I think it maybe is the case that they're just having to try and change the style of play just a little bit because of the way Hobson played. You know, it's very difficult to find those forwards that can just play that way. So I think that's maybe why the results just right now haven't gone, you know, the particular way you'd like them to. Personally, I think Whitby will be, you know, last season they were so near to getting into them playoffs, and I think they'll be hoping they can use that to their advantage. And, you know, you look at Grantham and the fact that after two games it looked like it was really going well for them. They've then just had them two little blips there. But again, you know, if they get another two wins, all of a sudden they'll be in the playoffs. So it just shows you, when you're so early in the season, you can't read too much into, you know, back-to-back losses. And with the way that it goes in terms of how many games there are in such a short space of time, you can very quickly pick up that momentum again.
Now, earlier you mentioned, Tom, about the fact that, you know, some of your predictions are down towards the bottom end of the table. I'm going to suggest that the next team I'm going to mention is one of those teams. And at the moment, they're bottom of the table, Stalybridge Celtic. They'll be hosting Shaw Lane. Shaw Lane, much better position than they were last week when we spoke to Craig Elliott. It wasn't the best of starts. He was talking about the challenges off the pitch, trying to find a ground, not having a pre-season, not being able to sign the players because they didn't have a concrete plan for where they were going to be playing. Much better this week. It's got to turn around for Stalybridge. The quality in that squad, you'd expect them to be putting some results on the board soon, won't you?
Yeah, definitely. You know, and they are obviously one of the teams where, you know, you look at the management team there, you look at the players that they've got, you look at, you know, some of the outstanding talent that they've got in that squad. And, you know, I was absolutely stunned to see them where they are, to be honest with you. Although obviously this is a really tough league, I thought right now they wouldn't be, you know, bottom. I thought they'd be quite a bit higher up. But I've got to say, you know, looking at Shaw Lane in terms of the issues that they had in terms of a pre-season where they have this ground situation, they've got a really good squad together now. And, you know, you look at the players that they've got, players like Chib Chilaka, Gavin Rothery. These are players that last season were in the National League North and were playing pretty much week in, week out. So, you know, these are players that have kind of, you know, done themselves no harm in the National League North and then come to the Evo Stick. So, well, I'd say it now, I'll predict it, although I always get it wrong, but I'd predict that I think Shaw Lane will win this one.
Oh,
I've just got just
you
could feeling.
Take, you could take the boy out of Yorkshire. There he is, right there. Right, anyway. we started the show talking about the new boys, and we were talking about one of those was Lancaster City, and we've just touched upon Stalybridge there. Stalybridge, new to the division, relegated last season, following the journey that Hensford came on last season. And there was high hopes for Hensford last year, but it didn't quite work out for them due to changes in management and that kind of thing. Hensford Town will be hosting Lancaster City this weekend, and it's one of them games where You would be surprised either way, I don't think.
No, I don't think you would. You know, it really is a case of both teams. You know, it's difficult to predict how these two will actually do for the season as well, because both have the talent within the squads to go on a run and to be really, you know, knocking on the door for a playoff place, or to be, or certainly to be high up there in terms of the table. But then there is that thing of, you know, for both of them, it could just fade out. Last season for Hensford, it just, you know, it started and it felt like something could happen. And then obviously one or two, things happen off the pitch, and all of a sudden it always felt like they'd end up where they did. So, you know, for this one again, you're looking at it and you're just thinking it's so early as well that you're just thinking it could really go, you know. It wouldn't shock me if it was a draw. It wouldn't shock me if either team won it.
Just a couple more fixtures to mention. Nantwich Town will be travelling to Michelover Sports. It's 13th against 14th. Nantwich Town are slowly starting to get their act together, aren't they, after an understandable sluggish start. Michelover proving to be one of those unpredictable sides that we've probably unfairly christened them on this show. But both of them doing okay-ish.
Yeah, and you know, I think you look at Nantwich and obviously the situation they had in pre-season, losing the manager and, you know, all that comes with it, you'd expect them to start a little bit slow, losing as well some really talented players as well in the process of that. And I think for Michelover, you know, that their manager has come out and said, you know, it's been a really good pre-season, and he believes that they are going to, you know, be able to pick up these results. When you've got people like Clinton Morrison able to, you know, offer that bit of experience to the forwards in his new player coaching role, you know, the hope is that someone like him can kind of just have a real positive influence, you know, when these tough games are coming up. But again, for both of them, you know, with Nantwich especially, I do think that there's a lot more to come from that side, and it's just a case of, you know, trying to go on a little bit of a run. And in a few weeks' time, it wouldn't shock me if they were, you know, quite a bit higher up in the table, you know, and certainly looking forward rather than having to look back.
And lastly, but by no means leastly, Altrincham against Colville Town. How important is that win going to be midweek against Whitby Town for Altrincham? But then again, how important was that win for Colville midweek against Grantham Town? Potential banana skin for Altrincham, I'm going to suggest.
Yeah, it definitely is, because, you know, I've watched highlights from Colville games, and I've got to say that the amount of luck, I don't know what the management team did during pre-season, but the amount of bad luck they've had in some of the matches, you know, where you really are thinking, how have they not got anything from it? They finally get that win, you know, they got Cleveland Taylor in before that win as well, and I think that is a crucial signing, because he's such an experienced defender, and he's someone who will really, you know, bring that communication, that quality that, you know, I think they really did lack in certain games in those few matches that they had. So that's a big signing for them, and they'll hope that that helps them. And, you know, looking at Altrincham, I really did think, looking at the squad that they've got, and I know that they've had a lot of change, and obviously, you know, a team that not too long ago were in the National League, but I really did think that they'd hit the ground running, and obviously, you know, it hasn't been the case so far, but like you said, now they've got that first win, it's kind of like the monkey off the back. Their hope is they can, you know, go on a really good run. And to me, Altrincham will have to be, you know, in them top places by the end of the season, just for the squad that they've got, because they're another team where, you know, if you put them in the National League North with this squad, I don't think they'd be, you know, in them relegation places. I think they'd be okay.
And just to add as well, I mean, we are going to know a lot more about the positions by the end of this weekend, because obviously it's Bank Holiday weekend. There's matches on Bank Holiday Monday. That means everyone will have played six games or so by the close of play Monday, and that means we'll be nearly four games away from that pivotal. They've played 10 games now. This is a pattern emerging here. For Monday's fixtures, have a look at the Evo Stick League website, evostickleague.co.uk. There's some cracking matches there. One that stands out to me, Shaw Lane against Farsley Celtic, Stafford Rangers against Hensford Town, Whitby Town against Workington, that's very interesting. Witton Albion against Altrincham, quite interesting as well. We've got that West Midlands derby, Rushall against Stour Bridge, Nantwich against Barwell. I've started, so I'm going to finish. Matlock Town against Grantham, Marine against Warrington Town, Lancaster City against Stalybridge, Hales Owen against Sutton Coldfield Town, Colville against Michelover Sports, and Ashton United against Buxton. And now I'm going to take a breath. Thomas, thank you for joining us this week on the MPL show. Just a quick plug for all your work. I mean, where'd you start?
I suppose you can just go on my Twitter if you're absolutely desperate to have a look at it. I can only apologise for some of it, but it is Thomas Feeney on Twitter. And give me a follow if you like, but if you don't, I won't be offended.
Well, Thomas Feeney, thank you for joining us this week, and you have a lovely bank holiday weekend. And that is the end of this week's show. A big, big thank you to all my guests for joining me this week, and a special thanks as well to Black Country Radio's Adam Parks for allowing us access to that Gary Hackett interview this past week. And a big thank you too, of course, to Altrincham Football Club for hosting us on Tuesday evening. A cracking night was had by all, apart from Whitby Town Radio, of course. But anyway, we'll be back next week with an all-new, brand-new MPL show. That's the monthly discussion show. So we'll be back at the Heat and Hops in Stockport for this month's discussion, where we'll be discussing all the runners and riders in the league after six games and, of course, the FA Cup. There'll also be the first edition of this season's Evo Stick NPL Division 1 show. That'll be out on Friday next week, where we'll also be discussing FA Cup, and we'll have loads of interviews on next week's MPL Division 1 show. That's it for this week's show, though. You can follow this show on Twitter, that's at NPL Show, and you can get involved with all the discussions and chatter on the old internet. That's at facebook.com/groups/the NPL. And don't forget as well, for all the latest news and developments in the world of the Northern Premier League, please visit the website evostickleague.co.uk. Well, that's it for this week's show. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.